Hello, I'm Mike Sainsbury, and welcome to this ASI cast. Jane Clark, Managing Director of CIM, the Coalition for Innovative Media Measurement in the States, talks with our Research Director, Richard Marks, about their recently published white paper on television attribution, which seeks to match granular viewing data from set-top boxes and smart TVs with specific business outcome measures. They move on to discuss the document published a few weeks ago in early September by the MRC, the Media Ratings Council in the US, which set out their suggested standards to be adopted for cross-media audience measurement, this first document looking at video. Richard and Jane then discuss how the MRC recommendations sit with the call for cross-media measurement principles to be established, which was issued by the WFA, the World Federation of Advertisers, just last week.
Well, welcome back to the podcast, Jane. Since you were last on the show, CIM has become part of the Advertising Research Foundation, the ARF, in the States. Now, that seems a logical step, but how did it come about and how are the two organisations fitting together?
Well, CIM's been around for about 10 years and we had a lot of overlap in our membership with the ARF. And we had a very focused mandate, which was to work on cross-platform measurement and bringing more granular measurement to television. And as the ARF expanded their work and became, you know, more and more interested in working on cross-platform measurement, you know, it made sense that the members wanted to, you know, combine their efforts and their dues, you know, in under one organization. And so we've done that, and it's great. You know, CIM saves some money in our overhead. We've been able to, you know, reduce our fees. But we've also brought a specialization to the ARF, which they didn't really have, which is this whole area of granular data for television measurement, which is what I'll be talking about at ASI. And there's a lot changing with TV and technology and measurement and the introduction of addressability and many other innovations that are coming about through the availability of set-top box data and smart TV data. And as a result of that, we have we're still operating as a separate membership organization under the ARF, almost like a specialization, in some ways similar to the IAB Tech Lab being under the IAB, so that we're able to offer a place for all the companies that are very focused on bringing new data and measurement into the television and the cross-platform video space. A place to focus on standards, transparency, you know, how to create a lot of these new measurement services. So it's actually worked out very well for both sides. And now also under the ARF, the big change is that we're able to now welcome technology and distribution companies along with the members that we had previously, which were the media companies, the media buying agencies, and advertisers. So we've been able to expand to include the whole kind of vendor and partner community, which is very helpful because a lot of the expertise, you know, in this area lies with the companies that are trying to bring these products to market.
Well, you mentioned the topic you'll be talking about when we meet in Prague in November at the ASI TV and Video Conference, and that paper is going to focus on the rise of TV attribution and specifically a white paper that you've just published at CIM. What can potential readers expect from that white paper?
Well, the paper, it's a combination of a white paper and a guide, a provider guide to all the TV attribution providers that are now, you know, trying to bring these products to market. And this whole new area, you know, is based on the availability of the data, the smart TV data or the set-top box data. But there's a lot of challenges in that there is no nationally representative data set of all of this return path data. And so each one of these data sets has their own footprint and bias to it. So the pay TV operators, the MVPDs, as we call them here in the US, the multi-channel video program distributors, they all each have a geographic footprint. You know, they have, you know, contractual agreements with municipalities in all the areas where they operate. And so they have these rather skewed geographic footprints, and none of them are really fully nationally representative. Some are more rural, some are more urban. You know, there's the it's not only the cable operators, but also the telcos and satellite operators. So, you know, they all have different offerings. Some of them, you know, Comcast, for instance, emphasizes VOD a lot more, so they have a lot of VOD viewing, much more than in the other, you know, services. And so, and then you have the smart TVs that have come in, and they have the footprint of that particular OEM. So Vizio has a certain audience based on the models that they have. And so they're getting data back from Vizio sets that may have a kind of national footprint, but it's not a representative national footprint. And then Samsung and LG and, you know, Sony and all the television sets have their own kind of unique footprint based on their customers. And additionally, there might, as people are upgrading television sets and getting new smart TVs, you might only have, you know, one new smart TV in the home. But if you have a pay TV subscription, typically you have almost all of your sets in the home, you know, wired up for your pay TV service. So there's just, there's a lot of nuances in these different data sets. And originally people just kind of made what I often call the internet error that, oh, well, we've got 5 million, you know, homes giving us data, so that's got to be better than Nielsen, right? And it's kind of the error of numbers where people just think that 5 million is a big number. So, you know, this must be representative of a huge group of consumers. But, you know, those 5 million people could all be in one cable system in LA. And so as everyone's becoming more and more familiar with these data sets, and also as the advertisers now are starting to match their data sets to these data sets at a household level, you know, and obviously in a privacy compliant manner, they're starting, you know, to also notice that certain data sets may be more biased towards their customers or not. And so there are a lot of issues surrounding how do you increase the confidence that the market has in the use of these granular data sets? You know, everyone wants them because they can enable much more precision targeting. They can enable kind of frequency management, reach management, all kinds of things that we haven't been able to do in panel-based measurement. And, you know, importantly, attribution. But what they haven't fully been able to do is to give everybody the confidence that you know, what they're getting is reliable, and that they can base decision making, you know, on it. So that's what Sim's trying to work on, bringing more transparency to this whole area, helping everyone understand where the data sources come from, what happens when you match those, and if you then you may lose. You know, if you have 100 homes that you, Mr. Advertiser, wants to match to, you know, let's say 1,000 pay TV homes or something, and you match those, you're going to lose in the match rate also because of all the variations in the way that these matches are done based on households or devices. And so there's just a lot of issues with making the industry confident about how to use these new data.
One of the other topics that slightly overlaps with this but has similar challenges that we'll be talking about in Prague is the whole area of cross-media measurement. I know it's a topic close to Sim's heart from the very beginning, which is how are we able to look not just within television, but how are we able to look across all the media silos that are currently being measured. Now, I know that recently the MRC in the States published its first stage of guidelines on cross-media measurement, which I think the first stage was focused initially on video, but the plan is to move beyond that. And then just last Friday, the WFA, the World Federation of Advertisers, announced that they have a global initiative. I guess the cynic in me asks, are we going to need guidelines for how we overlay these different guidelines together? Or are you aware of how joined up these initiatives are?
Well, they're very closely aligned. So I would say that they're working together very closely. So I'm not so worried about the alignment of global principles and initiatives. It's more what happens when, you know, each country then goes back and tries to put in place some of these global principles. Mm. So, you know, the WFA initiative is a group of large global advertisers who have the problem that they can't compare measurement across countries. And they do work with these very large global, you know, media companies like Google and Facebook, who have global platforms. And they have a big challenge with everything happening in the privacy arena of now taking impressions from each of these big platforms and with some sort of identifier associated with that impression, and then deduping that, you know, with other media impressions. And so a lot of the WFA initiative started with that problem in mind. You know, it actually grew out of the Facebook Measurement Council, and how can large advertisers deduplicate impressions across, you know, Google, Facebook, and then other media. And so it really had a little bit of a different initiative. But obviously, once they start looking at cross-platform measurement and the privacy issues, the sort of plumbing and pipeline, they call it, the kind of how do you create the system to do this, the privacy issues and the governance issues, which is those are the four areas of focus of the WFA committee. It's really only one of them that overlaps with what the MRC is doing. Mm. So the MRC has been trying to just create comparable metrics across platform for video. And this is primarily to reconcile, you know, a view of an ad on YouTube or Facebook versus the view of an ad on television. And what the MRC's done is proposed, you know, a viewable impressions, which primarily you know, is defined by a digital viewability, since there really isn't a measure of television viewability in the same, you know, level of, at the same level of precision as to whether people are actually in front of the television set or not. But so it's a combination of a viewable impression with some form of duration attached to it. And this is where a lot of the controversy in the U.S. has been about how important really is duration, you know, whereas you have the advertiser on one side saying, I create an ad, it's 6 seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, 30 seconds, but I want people to see the entire ad that I've created. And then you have, you know, groups like the Mobile Marketing Association who say, well, yeah, but impressions are made faster in mobile environments. So, you know, as long as somebody sees a logo or sees, you know, the first second of a 6 second ad, you're getting an impression. And Facebook tends to also follow that line of thinking. And so there is, there are still a lot of open issues. And actually, I'll say my parent company here, the ARF, is collaborating with the MMA to do some research on actually, you know, when cognition occurs in some of these different environments of the mobile phone versus, you know, computers versus television, and that'll feed into the development of the standard. So what the MRC has released, you know, it's a standard, but it can't really be implemented at this point because a lot of systems can't actually report on the amount of time that an ad was viewed, the length of time, you know, the duration. And television in some markets, particularly even in the U.S., we don't even measure ads, which is a little bit unusual. So George is aiming, you know, George Ivey at the MRC is aiming to create something that is going to be comparable across all media, but it's going to take time for the industry to test it out and adapt it. And, you know, there'll probably be changes along the way, you know, even though he has a published standard now, they constantly update and do research to support these standards.
Part of me wonders if it is indeed this much of a challenge to get a common metric for video that can be accepted, takes account of the difference between a video served on a mobile and a video served on a 78-inch high-definition television, etc. What will happen when we try and move beyond that to look at trying to get, you know, a genuine cross-media measurement that includes audio, that includes display, that includes outdoor? Do you think that's ever achievable, that we're ever going to be able to give the advertiser that simple, across every media, you reach this number of people for this amount of time?
Well, I actually think that there is a way to do it. And I think that what the WFA is asking for in their principles also is to just to define all media impressions basically as impressions. So ad impressions, and however each media chooses to define and everyone agrees upon what that ad impression is. And then the duration question is an open question, I still think, because there's some media where duration doesn't really play a role. So I think that if within each media there can be some agreement upon what an ad impression is, and then what the WFA is then asking for is that ad impression be somehow linked to an identifier that will somehow segment that the impression into some kind of a viewer, a person. So it doesn't, you know, in a privacy compliant world, it doesn't have to be that ID gives you a lot of PII about a person. I mean, in the TV data world, as opposed to the digital data world, the segment, it's more often that you're looking at a person or a household being part of a segment of other people, which anonymizes, you know, any individual PII. So I think that there are ways to get cross-media impressions, even if the impression is slightly different in different media. And then the way that a marketer would distinguish the value of those different impressions is just based on the price. So there's some media they'll consider more valuable or less valuable, and they would vary that according to the price.
Yeah, so that would be reassuring. I guess my concern initially, you know, from a number of the cross-media initiatives, is that we don't end up with just a simple time-based exposure across all media that kind of dumbs media planning down and assumes that every impact is equal. But if it can take into account the different way that arguably radio works in a more subtle sort of subconscious way in terms of the way the advertising works versus the impact of a digital display board in Times Square, for example, that the spending 10 seconds with different media isn't necessarily going to have the same impact.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that marketers and agencies and, you know, even all the various media owners will still have a lot of work to do to understand for their particular brands and, you know, their particular kinds of campaigns and style of marketing, how each media is working for them based on the unique qualities of each media. But I think that you can still do that, and you can still have a somewhat standardized way to put these impressions into different models and to you know, to have a cost associated with each one, because it, in the end, they're these CFOs that are sitting there looking at how the marketer is buying media, and they're going to look at, you know, they're going to use their attribution models or their media mix models, which are rapidly changing into more granular attribution models, and they're going to look at these models and they're going to say, well, you know, it took me this media with this many impressions at this cost, this is what I took to acquire this customer who has this lifetime value for us as a company, and so this is how we want to do our marketing going forward. A CFO puts this all, boils this all down to, you know, the cost of every impression. So it doesn't mean that there's still a lot of subtleties in how marketing is conducted and understanding how to use the media. You know, there's still an art behind behind the science and the financial math that is what the CFOs would like.
Well, that's good to hear. You'll be speaking to us at the event in Prague on the Thursday afternoon alongside other speakers from variously ISBAR, Mediacom, NBC Universal, Sky Media. So it's going to be a great afternoon. Particularly look forward to your paper. So thanks for making the time to talk to us today.
Oh, it's always great to talk to you, Richard. You have always have the best questions, and the ASI, I always say, is the best global gathering of people on the forefront of TV and cross-platform video research. So I always love to be part of your conference.